If you would like, you are invited to read along with me the portions of Psalm 31 that we're considering tonight. They're printed in the bulletin.
Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress.
My eyes wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We don't have it written down here in the bulletin, but this Psalm 31 has the ascription at the beginning that it is a Psalm of David. And in those beginning verses of David's Psalm, he says, Lord, you're my refuge. You're my strength. You're the one I trust in. And as we see in the psalm, as it goes along, he sees that he has adversaries, people who are trying to tear down his kingdom or trying to bring in false teachings or trying to bring in rumors or different problems into his kingdom. So he has problems. At the same time, he knows that God is his Lord and God and is in control of all things. That first verse that's printed and that we read together, verse 5, is so much about David's strong faith in the Lord that he would say, Lord, you have my spirit. Everything I have is in your hands. And for David, a sinner, it was important that in that God is in his hands and he commits his spirit to him, that God has redeemed him. This is the verse that Jesus quoted on the cross when he died, when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. David needed redeeming. Jesus was the redeemer. And his whole life and ministry was so in harmony with the Father that it's done. Father, I commit my hands, my spirit into your hands. David says something else there in verse 5. It's always important for us to see and note. He says, O Lord, my faithful God. And we remember that Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is the name of God, Yahweh. So that when Moses was called to the burning bush by the voice, Moses, come close. And this, he revealed himself. God revealed himself to Moses from the burning bush in Exodus 3. And he told Moses, I'm going to send you to Egypt, and I want you to bring my people out of slavery, out of captivity, and bring them here to this holy mountain to worship me. And Moses said, when they ask, what God told you to lead us out? God gave Moses the name, I am Yahweh. And I am the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When David says, O Lord, you are my faithful God, he is saying, this is the God of our fathers. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God who used Moses to bring his people out. This is the same God in whom I have committed my spirit.
We see in verses 9, 10, and 11, there is suffering and problems in David's life. And it was interesting to me. I was a little bit astounded. I think I'm going to go back and read the passage again because I don't quite believe this. The commentator I used, or one of the commentators I looked at, not him, but he said other commentators have a hard time understanding why David is believing in God and he is his refuge and strength, and at the same time, he has adversaries and suffers. And I thought, oh, man, are they alive on this earth? We have, even though we believe in the true God, yet there are problems, there are difficulties, there are adversities. That is the truth. The Son of God himself had adversities and adversaries. There is great grief in this life. And David says, and so I need this grace and mercy of God, because there is so much grief. It caught me in the last part, or the last two lines of verse 9. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. Do you catch that? Waste. He's crying so much from the grief in life that his eyes just tired. It's wasted. But it's more than that. It's my body and soul as well. It's just not the crying of my eyes, but everything is suffering, Lord. He has a lot of things going against him. In verse 11, he says, because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach. Now, he has so many enemies, so many people against him, that he himself has become an reproach. He himself now is repugnant, rejected. By who, does he say? By his neighbors and his acquaintances. And think carefully on this, what David is thinking, saying. He has so many enemies that are against him and mocking him that even his neighbors, the one next to him, and we know that if your neighbor is against you, that is not a good life. You need your neighbors to support you. But he said, my neighbors are against me and my acquaintances reject me. An acquaintance here in the Hebrew is the ones who know you well. I'm wondering about that English word acquaintance. Oftentimes you think, oh, I'm acquainted with the person. The way I use it, at least, that word, is that I kind of know the person. But what's being said here is the ones who really know me, even they have rejected me. And he says, the last part of verse 11, those who see me in the street flee from me. My neighbors and the ones who really know me run away from me. That's how much I have become disgusting in their sight, rejected in their sight. You'll notice there in verses 11, 12, and 13, I have little passages. You can look that up, and you can see how these things happened to Jesus. There's no doubt it happened to David, but who they happened entirely, totally, finally, was Christ. No one supports him, he says in verse 12. He's like one who's dead, just forgotten, like you're not alive, you're dead to me. I have become like a broken vessel. The image that came to my mind, and maybe you've had broken pots and unused vessels, you just get them out of a house, it's no good anymore, get rid of it. We were in our house in Westland, a suburb of Detroit in Michigan, when we were up there for 5-6 years. And we were in the front part of the house, and we could sense burning coming out of the kitchen. And we ran into the kitchen, and there was a fry pan that had nothing in it, and the flame was turned on. And it was red, red hot. So hot that the bottom part of it had, it was so hot, it was going to explode. It was just dry heat. We took it off, and we had a back door right there in the kitchen. And either I or Debbie picked that up, and we screamed at each other and opened the door, and we threw it out in the backyard. This thing, if it touches anything in the house at all, it will start a fire. And that hot part of the plate that was right over the fire stayed. It stuck. It was so hot. It was red hot right there, and it stuck. And I think Debbie said, "Don't just leave it. It'll cool down." See, we didn't want that thing in the house at all anymore. Get that thing out of here. It's ruined. It's no good. In fact, it'll start the house on fire if it touches anything else. The psalmist is rejected like a broken vessel. Nobody wants him. Throw him out. He's dangerous to us. So there's no safe place for the psalmist. And there's all kinds of plots against him, which is recorded often in the Old Testament. There's plotting against David in different narratives in the Old Testament. So all the more there's plotting against Jesus. We need to get rid of this guy. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests said, we need to get rid of this guy, but not when the crowd's around. They respect him, so we can't take care of him now. They found Judas, didn't they? Who would point Jesus out when he was alone without the crowds. So there is a lot of plotting against Jesus. The psalmist continues after he talks about his life and how everything is, he's rejected like a broken vessel and everybody's plotting against him. And yet, he has trust in the Lord. And he says to the Lord, he says to Yahweh, "You are my God." And I often point out, whenever there is in our English translations, there's a thus, or a therefore, or a but. Pay attention. Because what the word is saying to us there is, it's this and this and this, but God is in charge. I trust in God. So even though his life, there's plots, and he's rejected, and even as the ones who know him best are against him, but he trusts in God. He knows that there is no human, there is nothing in creation that is stronger than God. If it's Yahweh, if it's the Lord, then despite these plots, despite my suffering, God is taking care of me. Verse 15 says there, "In my times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hands of my enemies and from my persecutions." I have persecutors, I have enemies, but I'm in your hand. Really, that's where I am, is in your hand, despite all these things happening. That's exactly what Jesus taught, right? In John 10, 29. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." All the things against God's people, God is stronger, and he holds them. And Jesus says, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. As this section ends with verse 16, he says something that brings to mind God's shining face and his presence shining on us. "Make your face shine on your servants. Save me with your steadfast love." Whenever we hear steadfast love and the face of God shining on us, this is always a reflection, a thinking of, a dependence upon the benediction that God gave to Aaron to tell to the people, and that we also say so often in church. It's in Numbers 6, and I'll read it. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" This is what the psalmist is thinking about, God's blessing. When he says, "Make your face shine on your servant," this is the presence of God. This is the strength and mercy of God that he desires and knows that he has and knows that That is what is going to save him. The psalmist David is inspired by the Holy Spirit to say these things, and when they're done perfectly and fully and completely, it's done in Christ. The psalmist David has sins. He had great sins. And strong faith, and also times of doubting. And he had adversities and problems. But yet he knew that he was in God's hands, and that his spirit, his body and soul were safe with God, despite the attacks. So also with us. And we all the more have seen these things completed and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that the one who was mocked, who was beaten, he was the perfect one. And he trusted and followed his Father's will to the end, to even dying on the cross, so that we can look to him and know that our weaknesses are forgiven, our sins are taken away, and in him we are in God's hands. And that blessing of peace and God's face shining on us is in Christ. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for these words that you gave to King David, by which he showed his faith and also his sufferings, and by which he showed and prophesied, foretold of your Son, Jesus. Continue to show us in your word, Heavenly Father, how you prepared all things for your Son to suffer, die, and rise again, and how you draw our attention to that, and how you draw us to have confidence in what Jesus has done for us, so that we know that no matter what is going on around us or even to us in our lives, yet you are with us. For as Jesus has taught us, nothing can snatch us from your hand. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.